Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of the Michigan Golf Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And this week, we're going to be talking about the West Michigan Amateur Championship and how that event went for me this past weekend, as well as talking about the Michigan Am qualifier I have coming up. But this is going to be kind of an interesting podcast because it just, to say the least, I mean, golf doesn't always go as you anticipate. And so we're going to talk about some of the highs, some of the lows, and kind of everything in between that this past weekend has had to offer. And I'm sitting here in the parking lot of a driving range because I am going to need some much, much, much needed practice after this past couple of days if I'm going to try and compete and qualify for a state amateur championship this week Thursday. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. As with all podcasts, you know, let's jump to the ads real quick, get those out of the way, and then we'll get to chatting after that. All right, guys, welcome back. Thanks for taking a quick break for the ads, and now let's dip into kind of what we're talking about. And this week on the pod, we have a very, very special and somewhat unwelcomed guest in my alter ego, the Dr. Jekyll to my Mr. Hyde, or I guess maybe the Mr. Hyde to my Dr. Jekyll, as I like to put it sometimes, because that's what it feels like. I kind of feel like me as a person and as a golfer, when I get out there, I mean, it's kind of like a 2-for-1 special. You go to tee it up, and who's going to show up today? Is it going to be Dr. Jekyll, or is it going to be Mr. Hyde? Are you going to play good golf, or are you going to play this game like you look like you've never played it before in your life? And so that's kind of what we're dealing with, and we're going to kind of dip into that a little bit. But so this past weekend was the West Michigan Amateur Championship. And leading up to it, I had a ton of confidence. I had a lot of high hopes, a lot of good kind of aspirations, and was looking forward to competing again, getting back out there. As we know, COVID-19's kind of shut a lot of things down. So just chomping at the bit to get back to competition. I played with a couple of buddies and haven't played a ton of golf, obviously, like I mentioned in previous pods, but I practice a lot. I hit a lot of balls and make sure the swing stays sharp and finely tuned. And so anyway, looking forward to this past weekend. And then next thing you know, you show up and things just go south. It's just like sometimes the golf game's not there. And that's okay until it's super dramatically not okay, I guess. And so kind of what I'm getting at is little backstory on me. I guess we'll kind of rewind a little bit. I played high school golf. Cool, a lot of people play high school golf, but I also played junior college golf at a community college here in West Michigan, Muskegon Community College, and that was back in 2007 and 2008. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So anyway, my freshman year at Muskegon Community College, I finished all conference, all state, actually won our state tournament by shooting rounds of 71, 72, 65, and I was the only player to finish under par for that event. And it was a awesome performance. One of the things I kind of hang my hat on. And then we went on as a team, competed in regionals, qualified for our national championship, and went down to Alabama as a team that year. And I finished top 20 as an individual there in that national tournament, shooting rounds right in the low 70s. I think my low was 71 for the week, and I think my high round was 75. So just kind of good, steady golf and in a kind of high-pressure setting, my first junior college national tournament. And it got me super excited for the next year. Obviously, coming back and playing a sophomore year at Muskegon Community was something I really looked forward to and continue to develop my game and improve. And sophomore year went out, again, finished all-conference, all-state, and then went to regionals and finished second as an individual at that event, and that qualified me for our national tournament as an individual. Unfortunately, our team didn't make it that year, but I did qualify as an individual, got to go out to Phoenix, Arizona, to a course called Palm Valley on the west side of the city, and really, really fun golf course, by the way, a ton of fun, and so one that I would love to go back to and would love to play again because I had a lot of fond memories, as we'll kind of touch on real quick, but opened up, I was kind of the underdog. I mean, you know, you got this one dude from Michigan who comes down and is playing in this national tournament looking to compete in Southern Arizona there against community colleges from around the nation. and I opened up with a first round 63, 9 under par. I went out and made 7 birdies, 2 eagles, and 2 bogeys. And I'll never forget that first round, at the first hole. I hit a wedge onto the back of the green, was on the fringe, and ended up making what had to have been, at least in my memory, I know golf stories can be like fish stories, but that putt had to be every bit of 50 feet, and knocked it in. And birdied the first, and my coach is super pumped. He's following me around, of course. We go to the second hole, which is a par 5. I'll never forget this one because I hit a mid-iron. It had to have been a 5-iron, maybe a 6-iron, after a decent tee shot into the right rough. And I hit this mid-iron to a foot. I kid you not, a foot, and tapped in for eagle. And I remember walking off that green, and my coach is, he's giddy, he's excited, and we're 2 holes in, and we're already having the time of our life. And I remember walking past his cart and saying, "Hey, coach, is that the start you were talking about? Is that what we were looking to do?" And he goes, yep, keep your head in the game. Let's keep it rolling, da-da-da-da-da. And anyway, lo and behold, 6 more birdies, 1 more eagle later, and a couple of bogeys, and we shoot a first round 63, which was awesome. Led me, kind of carried me through the week. Ended up finishing 2nd as an individual. I did have, if you can believe this, I go out and shoot a 63. And I had this guy from a community college in Texas go out and make 10 birdies and no bogeys to take the first round lead in the afternoon. He shoots a 62. And I think above, beyond that, I think the next guys were at like 67, 68, something in that neighborhood. But anyway, week goes on. I end up finishing 2nd by a single shot. And my nemesis on that, this is topic for another pod if we want to kind of take a walk down memory lane, but the 16th hole at Palm Valley was a par 3. I played that hole so poorly. I played that hole alone in 6 over par through 4 rounds and made 2 bogeys and 2 doubles. And I'll never forget that hole. To lose a national championship by 1 shot and to play the 16th hole in 6 over par for the 4 rounds, oh, kind of makes me mad just talking about it. But that's in the past. So anyway, I've got kind of a long history back in competitive golf and playing well. After that, I took a shot at entering some professional events out in Southern Arizona and trying to qualify for what was then the Gateway Tour. And even then, I came back. I'd still competed on the kind of state level here in Michigan, Michigan Ams, Michigan Opens. And then even as recently as 2017, I competed in both the Michigan Am and the Michigan Open. I'd qualified for both of those events through the qualifying process, and then played well in both of them. I didn't make the cut in the Michigan Open, which was kind of a drag, but that's okay. And but ever since then, for whatever reason, I don't know what happened in life, what happened in my mind, what happened in my physicality, but golf is a funny game. It's a very humbling game and a very frustrating game, because for the last, well, I guess if you think 2018, 2019, and now we're dipping into 2020, the last 2 years and change have been a very, very difficult time. And what I mean by that is I'm kind of bringing back into the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. Like, I can practice till I'm blue in the face. I can go out and hit balls. I can go play golf with my friends. I can take buddy's trips to Alabama, and I can play good golf. It's kind of just, not to make it sound easy, because it's not, but I practice a lot and I play a bit and I play well. Right now at my home course here, which is Kauffman down in Grand Rapids, I carry a plus 0.1 handicap. So just a fraction above scratch. And I'll shoot rounds like even par, maybe a couple over, a couple under. My low round there in the last 8 months, I shot 66 there in a skins game with a bunch of guys last September, and that was obviously super fun. That's been my low round out there at Kauffman in recent memory. But casual golf, fun golf Garrett is very different than tournament golf Garrett, and a lot of you guys that are listening, you may be able to relate to this, and you may already be thinking, well, yeah, man, you're nervous, you're getting out in competition, it's first tee jitters, it's nerves, it's stuff like that. But I gotta say, for the last 2.5 years of experiencing this, it's much, much deeper than that. And that's kind of the journey we're on right now, is trying to figure out what depths do we have to go to conquer these inner demons, because That's what I told my wife after we obviously had the West Michigan AM this past weekend. That's kind of what we're going to talk about. But I kind of wanted to give a little backstory before that. But I told my wife on Saturday, I went out in the West Michigan AM out at the ravines, like I talked about in kind of a previous pod. And it was exactly as I recalled. The first few holes are kind of open, and it was windy. It was a pretty windy day, and it wasn't easy by any means, but it wasn't hard. And I went out there and played absolutely terrible. Warmed up on the range, hit the ball well. Warmed up actually next to a good buddy of mine and one of my playing partners for that day, the guy that I've been playing golf with for 10 years plus, at least 10 years, probably closer to 15. A good friend from Manistee, Michigan, that I still play with on at least a couple times a year. I can't say regular basis because we don't get together that often, but really good dude, and we're warming up the range, and I'm hitting the ball well, picking targets, smooth swings, hitting good shots, and at this point, I'm stoked. We're getting back to competition after the spring of COVID-19 and shutting everything down and having the kind of abnormal go that we've had so far in golf and competitive golf in this state. I'm chomping at the bit. And so kind of to just give a few of the grimy details, hit the ball well in the range and looking forward to it. The first tee, of course, is going to be first tee jitters. We get out there and I'm playing with a good friend and a couple of guys, one of which I've had competed against and with before. And first hole, it's short par four, and I hit 4-iron off the tee. And anyway, I make this swing that is unlike any swing I made in a practice session, in any previous rounds, in hitting balls at my house. It's this really uncomfortable, kind of gives me chills just thinking about, but it's, without showing you, since this is a podcast and you're just listening and all this stuff, it's, you get super jammed up, the right arm and right elbow are stuck deep behind you, club face is wide open, it's scared, it's tentative, it's fearful, and what do? You leave that club face, like I said, wide open, and I hit this kind of, as I deemed it over the weekend, my stock 4-iron flop shot off the tee, this like squeezy little flop cut that ends up in the fescue or long grass on the right of the fairway, right of the rough, mind you, close to the driving range actually, which was not position A, and so I ended up opening with a double bogey after that. Just one bad shot, another bad shot, wedge it on the green, and then just to compound the error, we might as well three putt the first hole and make a six, because that's what happens sometimes. But anyway, get off to a terrible, terrible start. Double the first, bogey the second, bogey the third. And it's just, obviously when you're out there, you guys know, if you're out there playing and you're out there kind of battling and play competitive golf, you know what the nerves feel like. You know what the jitters feel like. But it's, for whatever reason, what I'm kind of coping with and what I'm trying to struggle through is not the same. It's much, much deeper than nerves, because I cannot say that I was nervous. I did not feel nervous for any aspect. I don't feel nervous to be watched. I don't feel nervous to play golf. I don't feel nervous for any of that stuff. I guess if you kind of want to think about it like this, I feel nervous for the outcome of the shot. How about that? Does that make sense? Because I get out there, and like I said, I mean, a lot of guys, they always talk about you want to just kind of have one miss. But when I get in these situations, I very much have a two-way miss. And so I'll step on a tee or I'll be out in the fairway, and I can see the fairway. I can see the flag, and I can see the middle of the green, whatever I want to kind of point and shoot at. But when you get up over that shot and there's that extreme level of uncertainty on whether that ball is going to go right or whether that ball is going to go left or whether you might get lucky and actually hit it at your target. It's just there's so many variables. And it leads to just an uncomfortable and unrepetitive motion. And that's kind of what I feel like. And that's kind of what I describe it like in my mind, is it's unrepetitive. It's not consistent. And no matter how many times I hit balls, no matter how many times I play golf with friends, it doesn't matter. It's that's why I'm trying to figure out why this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing happens. And because it makes tournament golf very, 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 very not fun. When you go out there and I can play with my buddies and I've can shoot a couple over par. Usually, generally, anywhere between 70 and 75 is kind of my stock score when I'm playing casual golf. But when I get out there in tournament golf, in the last two years and change, I'm going to struggle and fight and grind to break 80. And I keep doing it because, you know, it's one of those things where kind of dipping back to the memories and the kind of the fond memories of golf's past and my game. It's one of those things where you step up and you're like, I know I can do this. I do it every day. I hit balls, I practice, I prepare, I play, and I hit good golf shots. And then I get into a tournament and you just play like you've never played the game before. And I keep entering events. I keep trying and I keep getting out there and putting myself in the situation because I know that I can do this. And the inner demons can be conquered. But it's just figuring out what those inner demons are. And maybe I think too deeply about it. I don't really know. Because sometimes I think, hey, man, maybe you're just overanalyzing. Maybe you're just kind of paralysis by analysis stuck, I guess. But then there are times where I think, well, maybe you're taking it too lightly. I don't know. What do you guys think? I'm still trying to figure that out. It's like I'm trying to find that delicate balance between caring too much and caring too little, you know. But it's hard because when you go out there on Saturday at the Ravines for the West Michigan Am, I made 5 doubles. And what are you going to do with 5 doubles and a handful of bogeys? I mean, you're going to shoot a big number. There's no ifs, ands, or buts and no way around it. It's going to be a mid-80s round at best. And so that's kind of where we sat after Saturday. And then I came home. I kind of talked it over with my wife. I said, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. And I'm trying to find peace and I'm trying to find some sense of comfort in an extremely uncomfortable situation. Because I still get out there. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not playing 18 holes like a turd. Like I get out there and just don't know what I'm doing. Because usually it's a few holes. I'll string together some good shots. I'll make a few pars in a row. And then it's one bad shot. And then all of a sudden it's off the rails. And it takes me 3 or 4 holes to regroup. And then I'll string together another 3 or 4 good holes. So it's very, very strangely sequential like that. And then anyway, I showed up on Sunday after talking it over with my wife. And I said, you know what? I mean, I'm not giving up. It's not, I paid down to this event. It's 2 rounds. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to compete. I'm going to grind and see if I can put together a respectable finish and do what I can to kind of try and overcome some of this uncertainty and the struggles that I'm dealing with. And what do I do on Sunday? I go out there and I open with a couple of pars in a row. And then I get bowled with one drive. I pull driver on a par 5, which is 600 plus yards, mind you. So it's a par 5 that you want to hit driver on. And I hit this ungodly open face flop shot push cut. I mean, into who knows where. I honestly didn't even watch it. It left the face, and that swing was so jammed up and so uncomfortable. And that club face was so far open at impact that I did not even watch the ball flight. I walked back to the cart and grabbed another ball, and that was it. Anyway, that one bad swing led to a 9, a quadruple bogey 9, because, like I said, the bad swings come in numbers for me. And so a quad, and again, I still had the double bogey blues on Sunday. I think I had 3 on Sunday, but anyway, it's all the same. 5 doubles on Saturday, a quad, and 3 doubles on Sunday. It all equals 10 over par, and then you add a few more bogeys in the mix, and you're just like trying to wrap your head around what in the heck is going on. But this is a sad podcast. I'm sitting here at a driving range right now, and I'm just kind of watching the wind blow and some of the leaves on the trees blowing. I've got this bird just bopping around the parking lot next to me, and I'm thinking, this is a depressing pod. So if you already tuned out, I don't blame you, because nobody wants to talk about lousy golf. But what we are talking about is very real. So if you are still tuned in and you're still thinking, hey man, this is, I can relate, I know what you're talking about, maybe we can connect. Let's figure out how to conquer this together, because I know, just like I'm sure you know, I mean, the golf game's in there. The good shots are there. The good putts are there. The low scores are in there. And it's just figuring out how to tap into that and how to make it happen. And That's kind of where the battle lies right now. So, but that's kind of where we're at. And I've got the Michigan Am qualifier coming up this week at my home course, Kauffman. I do play well there when I play for fun. I do practice well there. And so we'll kind of see how that goes. But I'm cautiously optimistic. I've got a couple of bags of balls here that I'm going to go hit. But I'm very, very confident that the results are going to be far better than they were in the tournament this week. But I don't know. We're just going to go out and try and figure it out, you guys know. And maybe, I don't know, you guys take video? You guys ever videotape your golf swing? Because I do that sometimes. And sometimes I'll videotape practice sessions, especially when I'll just kind of let the camera go. And mostly because I want to just observe how my body responds, how if I switch targets, how's the rhythm of the swing? If I switch clubs, does the timing, the tempo, the rhythms remain pretty constant from wedge to mid-iron to driver, etc. And so that's kind of what we work on. And when the swing is good and when I'm hitting practice, when I'm practicing hitting balls on the range, I want to see what that good swing looks like, because that way when I get into trouble, I want to know what I got to work back towards. What works for me? What's good? Obviously, I'm a big proponent of swing your swing, so there's going to be little nuances and little quirks, but I want to know what works for me and how do I get back to that point. And that's why I wish I could get somebody, maybe I should ask my wife this, to come out and spectate and just videotape some golf swings for me in competition. Because I would be incredibly scared to compare practice session Garrett to tournament round Garrett and see what those two look like side by side, because I, like I said, I know they're not one and the same, and that's the battle that we all kind of struggle with, because whether it's nerves, whether it's first tee jitters, whether it's whatever you want to call it, I mean, taking the game from the practice facility to the course and from the course to competition, that's kind of, those are the bridges we're all trying to cross. And if you're working on your game, and whether you're playing in an amateur event, whether you're playing in your company outing, or just getting ready for your Tuesday night golf league, I mean, we're all trying to take that golf game and that swing that we have on the range and get to the course. And that's what I'm working on right now. So was this weekend a success? Absolutely not. And it was unfortunately very much of the same that I've come to expect from the last 2 years. But I'm also cautiously optimistic that I can get back to where I need to be. And that's what we work towards, because like I said, I mean, I don't like to give up. I feel like, I don't know if there's a chip on my shoulder, but I've been trying to play this game for a long time on a highly competitive level. And there have always been people and situations that kind of say, hey man, I mean, whether they actually physically and verbalize this in this way, but the message is the same. It's hey man, this is, you got to do what you got to do to like be an adult, live life. You can't go out and chase the dream of playing golf at a high level for all of eternity. I mean, as much as I'd like to, you got to get a job, you got to do this, you got to do that. And a lot of those things I've come to enjoy, of course. I mean, there's a lot outside of the game of golf that I really love. My wife and I, we were talking about it on Saturday night. We've got a small plot of land at our place. We've got a couple of gardens, and we've got chickens, we've got a rabbit, and honestly, Saturday night I got back from golf, and my wife and I went and we were pulling some weeds in the garden as we're in the early stages of that, getting everything finished up, getting planting and trying to manage the weeds and stuff. And I honestly would rather pull weeds than play tournament golf. And if you are a competitive golfer and a gardener out there and you're listening to this, like, am I crazy? Or can you relate? I mean, sometimes golf's hard. Sometimes golf is hard, and sometimes pulling weeds is easy. And so sometimes pulling the weeds and seeing that plot of your garden or wherever you're maintaining go from a little bit busy and a little bit kind of gross looking with the weeds and the nonsense that kind of tends to overtake some stuff, making that look good and giving your pepper plants and your tomato plants the space to grow and the space to develop and bear fruit, and like, that's exciting. And so that is kind of where I'm at now. And it's kind of strange. This has become kind of a rambling pod, but if you're still listening, this is the fine line that we're trying to walk. And maybe some of you guys are out there trying to walk this line too, but it's that fine line of caring too much and not caring at all. Because Saturday, as I'm out there playing and I'm playing poorly and I'm wrapping up, I'm driving home and I'm thinking about it, in my mind, I'll have a moment where I think I could never play a round of competitive golf again and I would be happy. I have so much else that makes me happy in life. I have my wife, I have my animals, I have my farmhouse with my gardens, and I love maintaining that, and I love watching it grow and develop, and I love camping, I love traveling with my wife, I love doing all the other things that Michigan has to offer besides play competitive golf. And obviously I'm still going to do what I do because the bug is there, and it's hard to get rid of. And so in that fleeting moment, I think I could leave this all behind and live a very happy life. I actually joked to my wife. I said, I want to get a job in conservation. I want to get a job with a national park, the Michigan DNR or something like that. And I want a cabin in the woods, and I want to live a life of peace and solitude and have all those happy things that bring joy to my life. And then on the flip side, literally in almost the very next sequential moment, I'll be driving and I'll think, man, you can't give up. This is what you do. This is what you live for. This is what wakes you up in the morning. This is what you train for. This is what you love. This is golf. This is what you've always kind of had and what you've always worked towards and what you've always been. And you're not going to leave that behind. I mean, who are you kidding? So it's one of those things that's like, okay, you play a couple of crappy rounds of golf. Do you let it bother you? Do you not let it bother you? I mean, do you get mad to the point where you're angry and frustrated? And this is kind of where I'm kind of torn, because sometimes I get mad and I get frustrated and I get angry, and it's highly motivating. You get out there and you're like, I'm not going to suck. I am hands down not going to suck at this. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to shoot a good score. I'm going to play a good round of golf, and I'm going to win or contend to win this event. And for me, that's kind of always been the kind of what I go to. But in years past, I mean, just with the struggles being the way that they've been, sometimes I find it easier to just say, you know what, it is what it is, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But then I get super frustrated, and then life goes on, and then I sit there, and I whine, or I pout, and I get a little gloomy on the inside and all that stuff. But here I am. Like, literally, I just shot two incredibly poor rounds of golf on Saturday and Sunday, and it's first thing Monday morning, sun's coming up, I've got a work call in a little bit, and I'm gonna go hit balls because that's what I do. It's like that endless pursuit of what could be, the endless pursuit of potential, let's call it that. That's kind of what we're on right now. And so I hope some of you guys are out there, and if nothing else, like I said, I mean, if this podcast was a little gloomy, a little dark, and kind of hopefully you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, there are others out there that I can relate to, and I know there are other people out there that I could talk to that struggle with some of the same stuff. But, and if you struggle with it, hey, I'd love to connect. I mean, let's kind of talk through it together, because I think there's value there. I think I've got a good core group of people around me that I know that I've played competitive golf with in some capacity in the past that all say to me, hey man, keep your head in the game, keep grinding, keep pushing, your game's there, you've got the potential. And I feel that way for a lot of you guys out there too. So if you're struggling and you're kind of working through some stuff, it's possible to overcome these hurdles, and I'm confident that we can do it together. So anyway, long story short, I'm gonna go hit some balls now and try and regroup and refocus and prepare for later this week, where I'll have home course advantage, which is gonna be super fun, and I'm looking forward to that. And post-COVID-19, I've got to go back into the office this Wednesday. So this is kind of a little like bright spot for me. So I'm going back into the office on Wednesday after working from home for the last probably 2.5 months. And then I'm taking Thursday off to go compete and play golf. So that's makes it smile a little bit. I like my job. I love what I do. And I got a great group of people that I work with. But, I mean, you know what they say. You see the memes. You see the stuff out there on the internet. A bad day on the golf course is still better than a good day at work. And no matter how much you love your job, that's probably still going to be true. So anyway, back to the grind Wednesday, off on Thursday, and then heading up north, actually. We'll have probably a pretty cool pod next week. much more bright spots. I'm going up north for my grandma's 90th birthday, actually, just north of Manistee. And a good buddy of mine that lives up there, we're going to go out and we're probably going to play Arcadia Bluffs. They've got the new South course. And I say new because it's still new to me. I haven't played it yet. I think it's been open for 2 years now. And so Arcadia Bluffs up there in Arcadia, Michigan, north of Manistee, on Lake Michigan. Beautiful views. They have a South course, if you don't already know. It's inland a little ways and very wide open, very expansive golf course. But from what I've heard, it's very challenging. The wind blows, the elements are there, greens are firm, a lot of bunkering. So I'm looking forward to getting out there, hopefully with my buddy Zach, and playing some fun golf together with him, and hopefully he doesn't school me too bad. So that's why we gotta go practice now and play good golf later. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Bummed to report what I had to report, but hey, that's life, and there's gonna be ups, there's gonna be downs, peaks and valleys, you guys know. And we'll all get through it together, and we'll keep grinding. So thanks for tuning in. Much more to come next week. And looking forward to a fun fourth episode and highlighting some cool up north golf and some good weather and experiences up there. So anyway, catch up with you guys next week. And until then, play good golf, huh?